ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Hare Krishna. So we'd like to welcome all the devotees for this year's Narsingha Chaturdashi festival this evening. Before I begin, I would like to inform all the devotees that today's darshan is going to be one of the most spectacular darshans which may leave us spellbound, our jaws dropped, as they say. So I request all of you who might have decided to leave in between to kindly stay back at least till darshan, and what it will be you will have to witness with your own eyes and also your ears. So Lord Narsingadev, as we know in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadev Goswami, he is practically using an entire canto to describe this particular episode. And especially in ISKCON, Lord Narsingadev is very famous amongst the 10 incarnations. We see a child who comes to this Hare Krishna movement, the first arati which a small child memorizes of all the aratis is the Narsingha arati, even before sometimes the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Of course, sometimes we have to be careful. I was in Bangalore a couple of years ago, and my father brought his son. He was just 4 years old. So he asked his son to chant the Narsingha arati for me. So we were some devotees and we were waiting that, you know, he will soon start the Narsingha arati. But instead he started to sing some cinema song. And then I mentioned, well, this looks like Hiranyakashipu arati. So then of course the father realized that he had to remove the TV from the house so that, you know, the child doesn't memorize Hiranyakashipu arati and memorizes only Narsingha arati. But generally we see that small children, when they first come to this movement, this is the first arati which they naturally pick up and can memorize. And then we see whenever we go for yatras, as soon as the train starts, Namaste Narasinghaya. Sometimes the passengers might be wondering, is there any connection between the engine driver and this song? Anyone's house we go, the first picture, sometimes even outside, you will find of Lord Narsingadev. The most famous dramas in ISKCON is of this particular pastime. In fact, many of us, we may not even have read the Srimad Bhagavatam 7th canto, but just by regularly seeing these dramas of the pastimes of Lord Narsingadev, many of us, we have known the entire pastime with the shlokas. Then in ISKCON we find people having Narsingadev bead bags, t-shirts, even tattoos, kavachas, Narsingha shilas. Narsingadev has a big market in ISKCON. And we see it is because Srila Prabhupada also mentions this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually Lord Narsingadev is non-different than Krishna. And Prabhupada quotes, जयदेव गोस्वामी, केशव धृता नरहरि रूपा जय जगदीश हरे, विच वी सिंग एवरी डे, दैट दिस नरहरि रूप इज नॉट डिफरेंट देन केशव. केशव धृता नरहरि रूपा, सो इट इज इन वन सेंस नॉट डिफरेंट फ्रॉम कृष्ण हिमसेल्फ. दिस वॉज इन द ईयर 2003 इन श्रीधाम मायापुर. दिस वन इंसिडेंट टुक प्लेस because the deities of Lord Narsingadev there at Shridham Mayapur, they are very, very special and having very special pastimes. So there was this one devotee, IYF student over there. He was disciple of Tamalakrishna Maharaj, and he was preaching to his father, and his father started coming to the Mayapur Chandrodaya temple. And when his father saw the deities of Lord Narsingadev, he asked his son that, why do we need this deity of Lord Narsingadev, you know, at these temples? Because as you said, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. That Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan, he is the original God, and why do we need then any other expansions of that Bhagavan? So this devotee was explaining to his father that actually Lord Narsingadev and Lord Krishna, they are non-different. It's just when Krishna becomes a little angry, you know, he takes that form. And instead of playing with the gopis, he starts playing with Hiranyakashipu. That's the only difference. But the father was not so convinced. And that year for the Narsing Chaturdashi, both of them, they came to have darshan of the Abhishek which was going on. And father was witnessing the Abhishek, and he was totally surprised and aghast to see that as he was looking at Lord Narsingadev, he saw that the face of Lord Narsingadev turned into Madhav's face. And then he looked at Madhav, Radha Madhav, and he saw that Madhav's face was turned into Lord Narsingadev's face. So immediately he came in the front, full prostrate dandavats, Jai Jagadisha Hare, you know, started chanting and begging forgiveness. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the 7th canto how Lord Narsingadev is actually non-different than Krishna himself. Another incident took place in Russia, when the Russian devotees, they were held captive because of practicing Krishna consciousness, and they were imprisoned. But the devotees were so determined that even in the prison, they would be, you know, continuing with their sadhana as they would be doing in the temple. So they were given, you know, just some dry bread to eat. So these devotees were so determined, they would not eat these breads, but they would make, you know, small balls from these breads, and they would chant, because, you know, the beads were not allowed, so they would use those bread beads to chant Hare Krishna on. And every day in the morning they would be having the morning program. In the prison, no deities, nothing available, but, you know, these devotees would come together. And one devotee would just hold the fist as if he's holding the conch and would blow it. And the other devotee just on the wall would wave as if he's performing the aarti for the Lord. And like that they would start 4:30 in the morning, the Mangal aarti. And the policemen were so much disturbed by all this. So one day, the policemen, they brought big, huge greyhound dogs, you know, from the dog squad, the police department. And as the devotees were performing their morning program, beginning with the Mangal Aarti, the policemen brought four of these huge greyhound dogs. And these dogs were so big, you couldn't even make out whether, you know, it's a dog or an ass or a horse, unless it starts barking. So these hungry looking dogs were brought in front of the devotees. And the policeman said, If you are not going to stop that singing of yours, we are going to open your cell and we are going to release these dogs on you. Now, this was the time when they had just finished the Mangal Aarti and it was time for the Narsingh Aarti anyways. So as soon as they were told, immediately with full blast they began Narsingh Aarti. And these policemen, they were outraged. And they were warning them that stop this, if you don't stop you are going to release these dogs. But the devotees were so much determined, in fact they increased the intensity and the volume of the Narsingh Aarti. And these dogs were barking to the top of their lungs. And then they opened the cell. And here they released these dogs. All these devotees, their eyes were closed with folded hands, they were chanting with full intensity, praying to Lord Narsingadev. The dogs were released. And as soon as the doors opened, the dogs were released. To everyone's surprise, the dogs started to fight amongst each other. They started to bite each other, fight amongst each other, four of them. And these policemen were surprised, what's happening? We trained them so well. Why are they fighting amongst each other? And the devotees continued with their Narsingh Aarti. What could you expect? You know, how could dogs do anything when the Narsingh Aarti, which means even on a material level, what can dog do anything in front of a lion? So here the dogs started fighting amongst each other and they went out of control. And the policemen were so much in fear that these dogs, you know, they have gone wild, they might bite us. So the policemen, you know, they have to call off for more backup and then catch these dogs and again put them in the dog squad. So we see how Lord Narsingadev, especially in our society, has been one of the most interesting and fascinating of all the incarnations of Lord Sri Krishna. And in the 7th canto, we read that this particular Narsingha Leela, it has so many different emotions involved in it. Beginning with Hiranyakashipu's terrorist activities. He was a terrorist number one. There is a chapter entitled Hiranyakashipu Terrorizes the Universe. So we have Hiranyakashipu, who was full of anger towards Lord Vishnu. So much of pride and anger Hiranyakashipu had. And then on the other hand we have the gentle Prahlad. So we see the diverse emotions, the father and the son. Prahlad, so gentle, so cultured. And here was Hiranyakashipu, full of pride and arrogance. And then we have Narsingadev, who is a mixture of both. Anger personified for Hiranyakashipu, and he was love personified for Prahlad simultaneously. So Narsingadev was a blend, a mixture of both these emotions. And especially how Narsingadev was a blend of both these mixtures, we'll be seeing as we proceed further. But this Narsingha Leela in the 7th canto is full of these emotions which actually attract the heart of a conditioned living entity and makes it more and more pure. As Srila Prabhupada was explaining in one lecture, that how in this age of Kali Yuga, when people are so fond of, you know, violence, when people are so fond of anger, all around in the city we see these billboards which are nothing but portraying Hiranya and Kashipu. Money and sex. And in order to get that, so much of violence and anger is involved in it. Like one student in one of the colleges was asking me that you are speaking of your God Krishna and his incarnations, but we see that, you know, we have these celebrities who are so famous. We have this one person from the Bollywood who is so famous, he is more famous than your Krishna, I can say, who is known as the angry young man. I see some smiling faces here. So I said, we have the angriest young man. That is Lord Narsingdev. So yeah, somebody might, you know, exhibit some kind of fame by just becoming angry. So Prabhupada said that everything can be doubted in the Supreme Personality of God. And we can see, like one time one disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he came to him and asked that, Prabhupada, I have, you know, a very short temper. I become angry, the least provocation. And Prabhupada said, so you should meditate on Lord Narsingdev. And once you do that, you will realize that what is your anger in front of his? Where do you stand in front of the anger of Lord Narsingdev? Now speaking of Lord Narsingdev's anger, what to speak of his anger? The Srimad Bhagavatam explains the anger of Hiranyakashipu was making the whole universe tremble in fear. When Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varahadev, Hiranyakashipu was so angry that he was gazing at the sky with red hot eyes. And just his gaze upon the sky with red hot eyes, the sky turned into a smoky sky. Just upon looking at the sky. And Hiranyakashipu, he was fuming with anger when he learnt that Hiranyaksha has been killed by Vishnu. And immediately he started to shout at the top of his voice. And when he was shouting at the top of his voice, the entire universe was experiencing a loud shrill. And he started shouting, O Danava Daityaya Dvimurdham Streksha Shambhara Namuchi Ilvala Paka Viprachiti Mama Vacha. He was calling out for all these Rakshasa associates of his. O Danava, O Daiteya, O Dvimurdhams, Shambhara, Paka, Namuchi, Ilvala. Which is the names were quite befitting. So he was calling out for them that kindly listen to me attentively and act accordingly as I say. And then he started to speak about Lord Vishnu. Now as Hiranyakashipu in his anger was speaking about Lord Vishnu, which means he was blaspheming Lord Vishnu, but Srila Prabhupada explains in all these purports of these verses that actually Mother Saraswati was sitting on the tongue of Hiranyakashipu, because after all Hiranyakashipu is Jai. He is one amongst Jai and Vijay. So he was actually glorifying Lord Vishnu. But it apparently seemed that he was blaspheming Lord Vishnu. So Hiranyakashipu at the top of his voice, he is saying that this Vishnu, who is supposed to be equal to the demons and the demigods, has sided the demigods and therefore he has killed my brother Hiranyaksha. He is just like a child who can be induced to do anything upon just offering some cakes and laddus. Prabhupada writes in the purports that Hiranyakashipu was telling that this Vishnu is like a child who can be induced to do anything just upon offering some cakes and laddus. So what did this mean? Actually Hiranyakashipu was glorifying Vishnu. And he was corroborating to the fact what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that I am simply satisfied with patram pushpam phalam toyam. That I am simply satisfied with simple cakes, laddus, say pizzas in this one. I am simply satisfied with all that. It's just the humble devotion which I am attracted to. So actually Hiranyakashipu was speaking of that when he said that he is just like a child who can be induced to do anything by those offerings. And then Hiranyakashipu said that this Vishnu who claims himself to be the Supreme Lord He has been influenced by Maya. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that another meaning of Maya is affection. So yes, Hiranyakashipu was right when he said that this Vishnu has been influenced by the affection of his devotees. Therefore, he has acted like that. And then Hiranyakashipu, he was practically beating his chest and he said that soon I shall sever the head of this Vishnu with my sword and I shall take the blood from his chest and I shall offer it to Hiranyaksha, who was very fond of sucking blood. When I do that, then I will be peaceful. So it is written by Srila Prabhupada that actually he was least bothered about Hiranyaksha. This was the main concern, that I shall be peaceful. So Hiranyakashipu is saying that I shall sever the head of Vishnu and I will take out the blood from his chest and I shall offer to Hiranyaksha, and thus I shall be peaceful and I'll pacify Hiranyaksha. Prabhupada explains, what did that mean? Hiranyakashipu was telling that I shall please Hiranyaksha. The word is used, Rudhir Ashana. That I shall please Hiranyaksha with the garland of Vishnu, which is of the same color that of someone's blood. It is red in color. So Lord Vishnu, who wears a red colored garland around his neck, over his chest, when Hiranyakashipu said that I am going to take out the blood from his chest, Hiranyakashipu meant that I am going to offer that blood red colored garland of Lord Vishnu to Hiranyaksha, and thus I will pacify Hiranyaksha by the Maha garland of Lord Vishnu. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when the demons are killed by Krishna, and when they achieve Sayujya Mukti, they are first blessed by this red colored garland of Lord Vishnu. So actually, Mother Saraswati was sitting on the tongue of Hiranyakashipu, and she was making Hiranyakashipu glorify Lord Vishnu, which apparently was seen as if he was blaspheming. And then finally, Hiranyakashipu said that this Vishnu is like the root of a tree. We use this example so often. And I shall cut this root, and this tree of these demigods and his associates will be totally destroyed. So he was knowing and he was glorifying Lord Vishnu with these kind of words. And after he spoke these words, then he went to pacify the relatives of Hiranyaksha. And if we read in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the kind of message, the tattva jnana which he is speaking to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, who are suffering the death of Hiranyaksha, if you remove Hiranyakashipu Uvacha from those verses, it appears to be like a full-fledged Gita course which we have. With examples and anecdotes, he is speaking about the tattva jnana, the atma jnana, path of self-realization. And Prabhupada explains, similarly, the commentators of Kali Yuga, Hiranyakashipu used the sword to kill Vishnu. And the commentators who write bogus commentaries on the scriptures in this age of Kali Yuga, they are using their pen by writing bogus commentaries, and therefore we say pen is mightier than sword. So they are using the pen to kill Vishnu, as Hiranyakashipu was planning to use his sword to kill Lord Vishnu. And then when Hiranyakashipu pacified the relatives of Hiranyaksha, then Narasimha Purana explains that one day Hiranyakashipu was sitting in his palace and he was still not out of that anger against Lord Vishnu. And as he was sitting in his palace, thinking that what else can I do now? What should be my next step? At that point of time, Narad Muni walked in the palace of Hiranyakashipu. And we know Narad Muni, he has the, you know, he's very timely in these past times. That what is the time when he has to enter and just trigger off, and he's like kind of a transcendental agitator. He triggers off the past times, you know, from second gear to fourth gear immediately. So Narad Muni walked in, and Narad Muni, as is his natural habit, he was performing kirtan as he walked in. He was singing Radhika Ramana Iti Name. And Hiranyakashipu, upon hearing, now Narad Muni is a person, he is allowed everywhere. He can enter into Hiranyakashipu's palace, he can go to Vaikuntha, he can go to any place. He has a visa and passport for everything, for every place practically. So Hiranyakashipu immediately stopped Narad Muni, that you stop that singing of this Vishnu's name. And if you don't do that, I'm going to kill you right away. And Narad Muni, fearless, he looked at Hiranyakashipu and said, maybe you should try. You should try out maybe. And Narad Muni continued singing the glories of Lord Krishna. And Hiranyakashipu was so angry, he pulled out his sword, which is called the Chandrahas. And this sword is a very special sword which he had. That whenever he would release that sword on anyone, that sword would cut that person's body into half, and then it would go and wash itself in some nearby body of water, and then again go back into the sheath of Hiranyakashipu. So he took that famous sword of his, Chandrahas, and he hurled it at Narad Muni. The sword went, it passed through the body of Narad Muni. Narad Muni was as it is, chanting the holy names. And the sword, because nothing happened to Narad Muni, there was no question for the sword to go to some body of water to clean itself. It came clean. And again it went inside the sheath of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was wondering, first time this Chandrahas sword of mine has come back without killing the opposing enemy of mine. So then he became a little sobered down. And then he approached Narad Muni, took him to the corner and asked, how did you get that kind of body? And Narad Muni said, because I chant these names, would you also like to have this kind of a body? And Hiranyakashipu, no way I'm going to chant these names. Is there anything which is closer by which I could get this kind of a body? So then Narad Muni suggested that yes, if you perform ghor tapasya, then maybe you might come closer to this kind of a body. And after hearing this, Hiranyakashipu, he was induced to undergo that ghor tapasya which he undertook. In fact, this was Narad Muni's plan, because Narad Muni had come to preach to Prahlad. So he had to begin his class. So he wanted to make sure that, you know, this disturbance should not be here. So he told to Hiranyakashipu that better you go in the forest, do your tapasya if you want to get this kind of a body. In the meantime, I'll do my preaching to Prahlad. So then Hiranyakashipu goes to Mandara mountain. And you know what kind of austerity he took up. He was standing on his tiptoes with his arms raised high up, looking up in the sky. He was not performing kirtan, by the way. But his arms were upraised, standing on his tiptoes, without drinking, without eating, without sleeping. He was standing like that for 100 celestial years. Now sometimes, you know, in the kirtan when we are asked to raise our hands, after one Hare Krishna Mahamantra starts paining, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. So we have a lead singer and the chorus. So we can, you know, take rest in between, and put down our arms, and then again the next Mahamantra we can raise our arms and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. बट हिरण्यकशिपु विदाउट एनी ब्रेक हिज आर्म्स वर अपरेज्ड. नाउ समटाइम्स इन दिस सिटी वी सी स्पेशली इन दीज लोकल ट्रेन्स पीपल डू परफॉर्म दोज काइंड ऑफ ऑस्टेरिटीज व्हाट हिरण्यकशिपु वॉज परफॉर्मिंग बिकॉज देर इज नो अदर रिकॉर्ड्स. यू हैव टू हैव योर बोथ आर्म्स अपरेज्ड होल्डिंग. वन टाइम आई वॉज गोइंग टू मीरा रोड फॉर अ प्रोग्राम and I did a big mistake that I started off the peak hours in the evening. So both my arms were like Hiranyakashipu holding upraised and I had to be on my tiptoes because otherwise the other people would stomp on my foot. And I had to look up also like Hiranyakashipu because otherwise my nose would be in someone's smelly armpit. And not just looking up, but I had to hold the breath, pranayam. So the pranayam was going on, arms were upraised, there is no scope for to drink anything or eat anything. You can't even sleep definitely over there. But then to my great surprise and getting some inspiration, I saw the fellow beside me. He was also in the same position, but he was solving a crossword puzzle. You know, with both his arms upraised, he was solving a crossword puzzle. So I was thinking even Hiranyakashipu wouldn't have dared on the Mandara mountain to solve a crossword puzzle holding both his arms upraised like that. And then, you know, they achieve siddhis in these local trains by traveling so often that without even looking outside, they come to know Bandra. Bandra has come. So they achieve mystic powers by performing that yoga. In the train. Sometimes I would be wondering how they come to know that Bandra has come. And then by frequently traveling, I also came to know that whenever, you know, the sense of smell is more powerful than the sense of sight. So we see that all these austerities which people in the age of Kali Yuga are performing for what? Two things. Hiranyakashipu. As Hiranyakashipu was performing the austerities for money and sex. So we see in this world how people are undergoing so much hardship and hard labor to have a Kashipu for nice sleeping arrangements. Like recently in Germany they came out with a bed which is as big that a small aircraft can land on it. Speaking about Kashipu. And this bed is so high-tech that there are various knobs and panels. You know, if you are not able to go to sleep, then you can press some knob or a panel and there will be nice sound of some lullaby. Another panel, there will be nice sound of some chirping of the birds. And if somebody is in the mode of ignorance, there will be sound of bats, owls, crickets. And then when you want to get up, then you can put a kind of alarm in which definitely these people, they don't get up the time when the sun rises. So there will be an effect that the sun is just about to rise in front of your eyes, closed eyes. So you feel, you know, have a feeling that you are just getting up with the sun rising. There are some lighting arrangements in that bed. Then in order to make you get up, you know, there will be sweet singing. And if you are a deep sleeper, that sweet singing turns into loud shrills. And still if somebody can't get up, the bed starts shaking. And if still somebody is too much in the mode of ignorance, then there is an eject system. The bed ejects you out. And still, these people, in order to go to sleep on this high-tech bed, they have to take sleeping pills. And then money. One online buyer recently, he paid $1.5 million just for a special cell number for his cell phone from a Chinese auction site. And the number It was such that according to the Chinese pronunciation, that number said, "Let me be rich, let me be rich." So this guy spent $1.5 million just to get that number, which pronounced as, "Let me be rich, let me be rich." Well, of course, he had very less money to refill the card in that cell then, in order to use that cell phone. But how much people are crazy? In the Niti, there is a verse about Hiranya or money, which speaks that how something which is dead also is reverberating that kind of the money sound. So it is said, Dundhubhistu nitaram achetana tad dhanam tan mukhadapi. It is said, Dundhubhistu nitaram achetana. A dundhubi is a kettle drum. So a kettle drum or that nagada, when the mukh, tan mukhad api, when the mukh of that kettle drum is played, what is the sound which comes out? Dhanam, dhanam, dhanam. The sound which comes out from the mukh of this kettle drum is dhanam, dhanam, dhanam. Then it is said, Ittham etav ninadam pravartate kim punarapi bhavet sachetana. What to speak of this achetana kettle drum when it becomes sachetana? What kind of sound it will emanate when the achetana kettle drum emanates dhanam 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 when it is played? Like there was a billboard in Bombay about some kind of a play game, and it said, Daulat ka meter chalu, dhan dhana dhan dhan. So, people are undergoing so much hardships, as Hiranyakashipu was undergoing so much of hard labor. For what? For Hiranya and for Kashipu. Now, because of his austerities, the entire universe, the thermostat of the entire universe was raised. It was burning and scorching all the residents of the higher planets and the lower planets. And they approached Lord Brahma. And when they approached Lord Brahma understood that this is Hiranyakashipu who is performing his austerities. So immediately Lord Brahma comes to this place, Mandara mountain, where Hiranyakashipu is performing his austerities. But Lord Brahma couldn't even trace out, locate where he is. Because for all that time he was standing at one place, and ants and worms had made anthill on his body and had practically eaten away all of the flesh of Hiranyakashipu. And he had maintained his life airs in the bones. Immediately Lord Brahma could see that from one anthill there is this fire coming out. Maybe this is the place where Hiranyakashipu is standing and performing his austerities. So sprinkled some water and revived back the body of Hiranyakashipu. Now Hiranyakashipu immediately paid his full dandavats to Lord Brahma. And he started glorifying Lord Brahma that you are the supreme cause of all causes. Now it is Brahma who had spoken about Govinda, that you are the supreme cause of all causes. But because Hiranyakashipu knew that he is the one who is going to award me my life insurance. So Hiranyakashipu was glorifying, flattering. As it is said that one should be beware of flatterers because they feed you with an empty spoon. So yes, you know, they appear that they are feeding you with something, but it's all empty. So Hiranyakashipu was glorifying Lord Brahma with empty words like that. And Lord Brahma immediately, he said to Hiranyakashipu, let's talk business. Okay, what do you want? And the first proposition Hiranyakashipu had, that let me be immortal. Lord Brahma said, of course, I can't give you that because I too have an expiry date. How can I make you, you know, immortal? So immediately then Hiranyakashipu puts forth his famous life insurance policy. And because he had paid such heavy premiums, so Lord Brahma had to give him something close to that. So we know what are the boons Hiranyakashipu asked. I shouldn't be dying, you know, in land, water. And Prabhupada mentions, specially Hiranyakashipu asked that I shouldn't be dying in water because Hiranyaksha was killed in water. So he was very fearful. So he made it very specific, I shouldn't be dying in water specially. And then land and air. And then Hiranyakashipu asked that no animal should kill me. Brahmaji was wondering why all of a sudden animal. Because Hiranyaksha was killed by Varahadev. No weapon should kill me. Because Hiranyakashipu knew that the most formidable of all weapons is the Sudarshan of Lord Vishnu. So no weapon should kill me. And then of course no species created by you. I shouldn't be dying inside, outside, during the daytime or night time. So all these, you know, various benedictions he took from Lord Brahma. In fact, before Lord Brahma gave all these benedictions, Lord Brahma told and indicated to Hiranyakashipu. Lord Brahma told to Hiranyakashipu that both of us, we are going to die one day, because Lord Brahma was sensing that he is going to ask something like that. But Lord Brahma said, but still, whatever you ask will not go in vain. We are going to die one day, but whatever you ask will not go in vain. So now ask. And Hiranyakashipu went asking all those benedictions. And still we see that the glory of the Supreme Lord and this material nature is such that even though, what do we learn? Prabhupada writes in the purport that even though we might make all arrangements to ensure this life on a material level, death is the most formidable, is the most inevitable sound which everyone has to hear one day. Like one time a tiger, he approached an old man, and the tiger wanted to eat this old man. So this old man said, see, I'm old. My bones are old. And my blood is cold. Why don't you approach a young man, you know? Bones are strong, blood is hot. I am old, my bones are old, my blood is cold. So the tiger said, I am in a mood of drinking cold drink today. So yes, no matter what we try to do, in order to avoid death, it is said that death is the most inevitable sound. Even if we might be deaf, we have to listen to it. Even though we might be blind, we have to have a glimpse of it. Even though we might have no sensory powers to experience that inevitable phenomena. So Hiranyakashipu was thinking that he has become immortal. But Lord Brahma knew that yes, in spite of all these boons given by me, Hiranyakashipu is going to be killed. And then, when Hiranyakashipu, he got all those boons, then he started to terrorize the entire universe. The first thing he did, he reversed the laws. Anyone who performs sin will go to heaven. Anyone who performs good activities will go to hell. So, the Yamaloka residents were in problem, you know, they had to devise new hells. For somebody who is performing yajna, dana, tapa, which hell you will go now? You know, people who are performing yajna, dana, tapa, you know, they had to, you know, undergo hellish punishments. And in the heavens, they were confused that here is a person who is a meat eater, you know, a gambler and all nonsense, and we have to give him, you know, all the heavenly pleasures to enjoy in the heaven. So everything he reversed. And what was the remote control of Hiranyakashipu? His eyebrows. He would just raise his eyebrows and all the devatas would be at his beck and call. Vayudev would adjust the temperature according to what Hiranyakashipu wanted. The earth provided with all the facilities which he wanted at any time. Now Shukadeva Goswami, after explaining all these terrorist activities of Hiranyakashipu, in a beautiful verse, Shukadeva Goswami explains that in spite of all this, Hiranyakashipu, what was his plight? What was his deplorable condition? Sa itham nirjita kakuva ekarat vishayan priyan yathopajoshan bhunjano natripyat ajitendriya. Sa itham nirjita kakuva ekarat. Hiranyakashipu was the one ruler at that time of the entire universe. He was the biggest tyrant. Nobody could speak up anything to him. Whatever he wanted, he would have it. Yathopa Joshan Bhunjano, for his sense enjoyment. In spite of all that glory and power, Hiranyakashipu still was natripyat. He was not satisfied. In spite of having all that power, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied. Why? Because he had conquered everything. He had conquered everyone except his own senses. Because he couldn't conquer his own senses, Ajitendriya, therefore he was dissatisfied. Something which the Goswamis and a selfless person understands so easily, that if you really want to conquer over the enemies of this world, we have to conquer the enemies within first. And therefore, the Niti explains that satisfaction is the biggest wealth which one can acquire. And the example is given that when we put on a shoe on our feet, say somebody has put on a rubber shoe, then because that person has put on that rubber shoe, wherever this person walks, he is walking on rubber. Now on the other hand, if a person thinks, let me also walk on rubber, but what I'll do, I'll cover the entire surface of earth with rubber, instead of wearing just a rubber shoe. So the other person, he tries to cover the entire surface of earth with rubber and thinks, now I will walk on rubber. By doing that, it's foolishness. So somebody who thinks that let me acquire everything of this world is like that person who is trying to cover the entire earth with rubber. But somebody who is intelligent, he understands that if I just control my mind and my senses, it is like just putting on a rubber shoe. And it is the same effect. In fact, it is more effective in one sense. So, Hiranyakashipu, who had all that power and glory, but still he was dissatisfied. And one of the reasons, yes, of course, his senses were uncontrolled, but the other reason was his son Prahlad. And then Shukdev Goswami explains about the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, Shri Prahlad. That what was the character of Prahlad? Prahlad was the most cultured of all human beings. Although he was living amidst all these Rakshasas, all these Daityas and Danavas, headed by his father Hiranyakashipu. So what was the condition of Prahlad? Prahlad was like a square peg in a round hole, as they say. He was like a soft tongue amidst sharp teeth. That was Prahlad's condition. He was amidst all these Rakshasa associates, the most cultured amongst all human beings, just merely a 5-year-old, innocent and totally Krishna conscious child. He was amidst all these Rakshasa associates. And what was the school Prahlad was sent? Now of course we have Bhakta Prahlad school. At that time, Prahlad didn't have Bhakta Prahlad school to go. Prahlad was sent, we can say, you know, Shanda Amarka Asurik Vishwavidyalaya. He was sent into the Asuri Vishwavidyalaya of Shanda and Amark. And what were the lessons which were being taught to Prahlad? How to kill, you know, diplomacy, hypocrisy, cheating, lying, you know, something like the Asuric mathematics, that you know, say, five devatas are walking, headed by Indra, and if you kill three, how many are left? You know, Asuric mathematics, something like that. Like, it's going on in Afghanistan, in these madrasas, they teach, you know, the Taliban people, they teach this kind of the Asuric mathematics to the children there. And the problems in the mathematics question paper comes like this. An AK-47 bullet goes at a speed of 800 meters per second. And a Russian is standing at a distance of 3,200 meters. So when a Mujahideen shoots the bullet, in a minute, how many bullets would enter the head of that Russian? Solve. So this is the kind of mathematics being taught. And it's true. So what will they learn when they grow up? So in this Asuric Vishwavidyalaya of Shanda Amark, something like this was going on. These kind of teachings were given. But Prahlad, he was totally oblivious to all that. And Prahlad, when for the first time was called by his father, Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was so loving to Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu took Prahlad on his lap, made Prahlad sit on his lap, and was stroking his head, fondling him, smelling his head. And Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlad, "So my dear son, what have you learnt? What is the best thing according to you which you have learnt?" And can you imagine? Now, of course, sitting on this Vyasasana, we can speak these verses, you know, very coolly. But if we are sitting on the lap of Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu is asking, and to speak that verse, sitting on the lap of Hiranyakashipu, who is surrounded by all his Rakshasa associates, and to speak up to him on his mouth, "Tad sadhu manye asuravarya dehinam sada samudvigna dhiyama sadgrihat hitvatma patam grihamandhakupam vanam gato yad harimashrayeta." Oh my dear, best amongst the asuras, oh asura number one, people like you who have made the goal of their life the sense gratification of this world, they are always filled with cares and anxieties, sada samudvigna. And because they are always filled with cares and anxieties, they are fallen into a deep dark well of this material existence. And therefore, what I have learnt, I am teaching to you, which you should also learn, that you should give up this nonsense materialistic life of yours and you should head towards Vrindavan Dham. Now when Hiranyakashipu heard that, for the first time now he's hearing, he simply started laughing. The laughter was full of shrieks. He started laughing and he called, "Shanda Amarka, come here. Who has taught all this Vaishnava talk? All this Vaishnava talk, who has taught him? Kindly keep a check on him from now on. Make sure that he's not listening to those FM channels from Vaikuntha. Make sure that he learns properly what he should be learning, what he's supposed to learn." So Hiranyakashipu simply just laughed it out, the whole incident. And Shanda and Amarka, they were really, you know, totally in disbelief and totally aghast and appalled. What has he said? From where did he learn all this? So they took Prahlad to the school and then they asked, "Prahlad, who taught you all this? Which enemy is teaching you all this Vaishnava talk?" "Yes, see, these other boys, they are such nice asuras. Why can't you become like these nice asuras? Why are you getting influenced by these enemies? So Prahlad said, who is the enemy, who is a friend? If you are going to live in this duality, in this dual world, your mentality will be full of dualities. Then you are going to suffer eternally. You are asking me how these things are coming up in my life. Because I am naturally attracted towards Vishnu. Just like the iron filings are naturally attracted towards a magnet. Similarly, my consciousness is naturally attracted towards Vishnu. And therefore it is natural for me to speak like this. Immediately Shanda and Amarga, they became so angry. They shouted out, bring a stick. This boy should be beaten up. He's like a burning cinder. He's like a thorn tree in the forest of sandalwood like asuras. And they became so angry. So at that time, Prahlad, he remained silent. And then, again, after some time, Hiranyakashipu wanted to see Prahlad. And Prahlad's mother now, she dressed up Prahlad very nicely and brought in front of Hiranyakashipu. Again, Hiranyakashipu puts Prahlad on his lap. And again, stroking his head, smelling his head, Hiranyakashipu is asking Prahlad, so Prahlad, now what he have learned? You know, after that what he have learned now, what's the best thing according to you? Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. That you should be constantly hearing, remembering, chanting, worshipping the lotus feet of Vishnu, not you. And when Hiranyakashipu heard that, oh heinous sons of Shukra, he called for Shanda and Amarka. You are fired from the job. This is what I am paying you for. This is what you are teaching, this bhakti stuff to my son Prahlad. And Shanda comes in front, says that we are not teaching. It's your son. We don't know how he's learning, from where. And Hiranyakashipu immediately then asks Prahlad, if they are not teaching you, if I am not teaching you, then how are you learning all this bhakti stuff? How are you speaking all this? And what was Prahlad's reply? Matirna Krishne Paratasvatova Mito Vibhadyeta Grihavritanam Adanta Ghovir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punascharvita Charvananam. That people like you and people in the past, the fools like you in the past. Can you imagine Prahlad speaking like this in front of his father? Not ordinary father, Hiranyakashipu. That those people whose mati is not in Krishna, they can never understand what is the true goal of this human form of life. Even though individually or collectively, if they try to repair their situation, they can't do that. Because their mati is not in Krishna. And therefore, because their senses are uncontrolled, so what they keep doing? Puna, puna, charvita, charvananam. They keep on chewing that which has been chewed and throw it out and again chew that which has been chewed and again throw it out. When Hiranyakashipu heard that, he threw Prahlad from his lap and he shouted out, kill this brat immediately. Now the acharyas explain that Hiranyakashipu himself didn't do that initially. Because he was a father, so he didn't want to kill himself, you know, personally, Prahlad. So he ordered his associates that kill this boy immediately. He deserves to be killed. And Hiranyakashipu is giving some examples that just like a limb which has become diseased, before it spreads the disease, and the entire body, it should be amputated. And you want to know what was the other example Hiranyakashipu used? Hiranyakashipu said, just like the senses of the yogis go uncontrolled and they kill that yogi. Similarly, this boy has gone uncontrolled. He should be immediately killed. And all the Rakshasa associates, they took Prahlad. Now, legal permission. He's supposed to be killed. So they went. And then the explanation is there how in various ways Prahlad was fed with poison. But nothing happened to him. Deadly poison, not just ordinary poison. Prahlad was thrown off a cliff. We were hearing this morning. When Prahlad was thrown off the cliff, what was Prahlad's reaction? It was not that he was looking for, you know, some branch, twig, vine or holding, you know, to some rope to protect himself. When Prahlad was thrown off a cliff, a high peak cliff, Prahlad was holding his heart, because Prahlad was thinking that the Lord is sitting in my heart, and if I just crash down on the ground, then the heart, then the Lord in the heart might have some pain. So he was thinking constantly of the Supreme Lord. Then they made elephants walk over his body, but nothing happened to Prahlad. Then he was thrown in a pit of venomous snakes. Nothing happened to him. Came unscathed, uninjured. And these demons were now becoming fearful. What's happening to him? So Narasimha Purana explains that these demons, they took Prahlad to a corner and asked, Prahlad, who are you? What are you? Kaun si chakki ka aata khata hai? Huh? What are you made up of? Why nothing is happening to you? Why you are not getting killed by us? And why Prahlad was not getting killed, Prahlad explained. Prahlad told to these demons, let's see, when you fed me that poison, what is that poison? That poison is actually, it came out from the Samudra Manthan. Prahlad asked. You read in the history books, Samudra Manthan took place. The Samudra Manthan, when it took place, the halahal poison emerged, was born from that Kshir Sagar. And also from the Kshir Sagar, my worshipable mother Lakshmi Devi was born. So Lakshmi was born from the Kshir Sagar, and this halahal wish was also born. So my mother was born, and this halahal, which became the brother of my mother. So what did this halahal become of mine then? The brother of my mother, my mama. So this halahal became my mama. So how can my mama kill me? Now the demons, they were not understanding. They were becoming mama. They were not understanding that what is happening. Samudra Manthan, then Lakshmi Devi, then Halahal becomes the maternal uncle, the mama. Said, we can't understand all this stuff. What about when we threw you in fire? What happened then? Prahlad said, you threw me in fire. But what is that fire? That fire is Yajyo Vaisaha. It is the tongue of Vishnu. And my worshipable Lord is Vishnu. So how could the tongue of Vishnu kill me? Now the demons were really becoming confused. Tongue of Vishnu. Yajyo Vaisaha. What is happening? Then they asked, what about that elephant which we used to trample you down? Prahlad said, my Supreme Lord Vishnu had saved the king of the elephants once, Gajendra. So how could the descendants of that Gajendra could do anything to me? Now they were becoming really confused. What about when we threw you in the pit of snakes? Prahlad said, Lord Ananta Shesh is a carrier, is the holder, is the bed of my dear Lord Vishnu. And all the other snakes, you know, the silly slimy snakes of this world are all, you know, after Anant Shesh, who is the origin. So how could these snakes do anything to me? And the demons, they were becoming so confused that what they did, they brought Prahlad in front of Hiranyakashipu and said, beyond repair. You know, we can't do anything to this son of yours. Some of them said, maybe the boons which you asked for yourself, he has got. And Hiranyakashipu was a little fearful then. I slogged so hard, did so much gymnastic, standing upside down, right side up, you know, in order to become immortal. And this boy, he didn't do anything and he's not dying. So Hiranyakashipu, you know, he started to raise all his eyebrows here and there, but still nothing was happening to Prahlad. And Srila Prabhupada explains a very beautiful verse that in this situation, Hiranyakashipu was constantly out of fear thinking of Prahlad. And this was the qualification for Hiranyakashipu to get delivered by Narsingadev. Prahlad asya anubhavata. Because Hiranyakashipu was constantly thinking of a pure devotee, that made him qualified to have darshan of Sri Narsingadev and to get delivered by Lord Narsingadev. So Hiranyakashipu was so angry now on Prahlad. He was fuming with anger. And Hiranyakashipu is asking, Prahlad, where are you getting all this strength from? You are just my son. Where are you getting all this strength that every bit of our endeavor we have done to kill you, and still you are unscathed, you are coming out of all of that? And Prahlad very naturally, spontaneously is telling, it's such a simple thing. The strength from where, you know, the origin of all strength is Vishnu, from where you are also getting your strength. It's so simple. You know, it's like if the tube light is asking the fan, where are you getting the strength to move, you know, constantly like this? And the fan will say, you are really a tube light. It's the same source from where both of us, we are getting our strength. So Prahlad was telling in such a simple language that it's the same Vishnu from where all the source of all strength and power is coming from. And and Hiranyakashipu, again when he heard the name of Vishnu, so Hiranyakashipu is asking that you are always talking of your Vishnu, who is everywhere, who is all pervading. Is he there in this pillar? Now, our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakra Thakur, explains that why Hiranyakashipu, he took that pillar and asked Prahlad about whether Vishnu is there in that pillar. Because if Hiranyakashipu, he first thought, whatever I am going to ask, this Prahlad is going to say yes. So if I ask him that, is your Vishnu in your heart, and he's going to say yes. And in order to kill that Vishnu in Prahlad's heart, I have to kill Prahlad first to take out Vishnu from his heart. So Hiranyakashipu thought that I want to kill Vishnu in front of Prahlad. Therefore he didn't ask whether he's there in your heart. And definitely he won't dare to ask whether he's there in my heart. Because Prahlad would have said, definitely he's there in your heart. So for that, Hiranyakashipu would have to rip apart his heart. So therefore he used a third person, the pillar. Is he there over there in that pillar? And Prahlad was so confident, it was not that Prahlad thought for a while, looked at the pillar, maybe should I tell or should I not? Like, you know, if we are asked, even today, at gunpoint, you know, is your Narsingdev today going to come out from this pillar on Narsingh Chaturdashi? Yes, tell. Is he going to come out? we might be very much doubtful. Definitely from the altar, you know, he's going to show his darshan. But I don't know, because I saw this pillar being made. Now in our dramas, you know, the Prahlad who acts as Prahlad, when the person who is acting as Prahlad is asked, he's very much confident in the dramas. When the Prahlad is asked, is he there in this pillar? Confidently, yes. No doubt, I just saw entering. And the pillar is shaking. I just saw Narsingdev entering. What to speak of Prahlad, even Hiranyakashipu knows. He's there in that pillar. And the audience, everyone knows. Because the last scene, only one pillar is there. And the pillar is shaking a little bit and everyone knows. Either inside, last scene has come. But here, Prahlad was so confident. When he was asked, immediately he said, yes, my Lord is there in that pillar. And actually, when Prahlad said that, it's explained that Narsingdev was waiting. He was waiting, if Prahlad says, yes, I have to enter in the pillar. Why? Because Shukdev Goswami explains, Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhuteshu akhileshu chatmana adrishyatatyadbhutarupam udvahan stambhe sabhayam namrigam namanusham. Why? Because Lord Narsingdev, he wanted to fulfill the words of two of his dear servants, Nijabhritya. First was Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma had given the boons to Hiranyakashipu that you won't be killed by any living being created by me. So, Lord Narsingdev took that form of half man, half lion. Why? Because Lord Brahma had given this boon that none of the 84 lakh species which have been created by me will be killing you. So, just to prove the words of Lord Brahma, Lord Narsingdev, he actually created another species. A new species, 84 lakh one, half man, half lion. Now, we see in this world that people are very fond of being a very complete person. Raymond's, the complete man. So either, you know, people are respected. If he's a complete man, he's respected. If he's a complete woman, she's respected. But somebody who's in between, not respected. You know, a transsexual or a eunuch. But here, Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was ready to take an incomplete form. Just to please Lord Brahma. Just to prove the words of Lord Brahma, he was ready to take an incomplete form, half man, half lion. Of course, the Lord is complete, Purnasya Purnamadaya. But externally, somebody who doesn't know the glories of the Supreme Lord might look at him and say, oh, what is this half man, half lion? Even Hiranyakashipu was studying like that. So then, who was the other? Nijabhritya, Prahlad Maharaj. So the Lord came out from the pillar in order to prove the words of Prahlad. Because Prahlad had said that, yes, he is there in that pillar. Now, we have the other incarnations like Krishna, Rama, Vamanadeva and all these. They had, you know, such loving devotees as their parents. So if you ask, who are the parents of Narsingdev? A pillar. If Narsingdev was asked, who are your parents? A pillar. Like we were hearing this morning from Govind Prabhu. That the demigods, they were worshipping the pillar. That, you know, this is like the grandmother from the womb of whom Lord Narsingdev has appeared. So just to prove the words of Prahlad and Lord Brahma, the Supreme Lord appeared in that form. Na mrigam na manusham stambhe sabhayam. From the pillar, and that too, the pillar in the palace of Hiranyakashipu, of all people. And the acharyas explain that the Lord emerged out from that part of the pillar where Hiranyakashipu had actually punched. We missed that point. Hiranyakashipu actually punched the column that if your Lord is in this pillar, let me see whether he is going to protect you. So from that part, from that, you know, spot, Lord Narsingadev emerged out, blasted off. And why the Lord immediately came out? Because the Lord was showing to Hiranyakashipu that I am going to fight with you up front. I'm not going to stab you from behind. I'm going to fight you out up front. And instantly the Lord appeared to show that when it comes to protecting my devotees, I don't waste a single moment. In fact, the Acharyas explain that Lord Narsingadev had already shown himself from the side of the pillar to Prahlad Maharaj, don't worry. I'm here, I'm going to just come out and protect you. So when the Supreme Lord came out from that pillar, how the Supreme Lord appeared just for Hiranyakashipu, the first darshan, the closest darshan, the first ever darshan of Narsingadev was had by Hiranyakashipu. And he was studying the form of the Lord. He was scanning the form of the Lord. And he was thinking, who is this creature? What is this creature? The form of the Lord appeared to be colossal in size. Mammoth. And the shrills which were coming out from Lord Narsingadev were deafening. Blinding effulgence coming out from the Lord's body. His eyes were so angry, it appeared like molten gold. The shining mane of Lord Narsingadev was spreading in all directions. He was touching the sky. The nostrils and his mouth, it appeared like caves of a mountain. The sharp teeth were looking so deadly that it was instilling fear in practically everyone who would look at it. The razor sharp tongue within the mouth of Lord Narsingadev was like a dueling sword. His ears were sharp and erect like the peaks of a mountain. His chest was broad. His waist was thin. And the white hairs all over his body were shining like moon rays. And Lord Narsingadev, with that huge colossal size, was shrilling at the top of his voice. And Hiranyakashipu, when he saw that, Hiranyakashipu, you know what he thought first? He thought, maybe when people were making this pillar, they put him there. So he decided, first I'm going to kill this person, this creature, and then I'll deal with those who made that pillar. And Hiranyakashipu immediately, he took his sword and he immediately started to attack Lord Narsingadev. And as soon as Hiranyakashipu attacked Lord Narsingadev, when Lord Narsingadev appeared there in front of Hiranyakashipu, all the weapons of the Lord, personified weapons, appeared before Lord Narsingadev. And all these personified weapons headed by Sudarshan, the whole battalion of all the weapons personified, they appeared headed by Sudarshan Chakra. And they asked Lord Narsingadev, you left us. You just came running alone without, you know, grabbing us. So therefore we have come at your service. And Lord Narsingadev looked at all these weapons and said that there are only two weapons in this incarnation which I am going to use. My nails and my anger. These are the only two weapons. You can take rest. But all these weapons, they were desperate. No, we want to serve you. So then Lord Narsingadev said, okay, then you can hide underneath my nails. So all the weapons, they hid under the nails of Lord Narsingadev. And Hiranyakashipu, he started to jump like a hawk. He was everywhere surrounding, trying to attack Lord Narsingadev. And Lord Narsingadev, just like Garuda captures a snake, Lord Narsingadev, sometimes he was capturing Hiranyakashipu and releasing Hiranyakashipu. And at one point of time, when Lord Narsingadev caught Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasingadeva opened his fist. And when he opened his fist, he couldn't see Hiranyakashipu. And then he turned around his fingers and he saw that Hiranyakashipu was stuck in one of the fingers, the nails, the fingernails of Lord Narasingadeva. To understand this phenomena, this incident took place in the Mahabharata. It's explained that one time Lord Krishna was trying to test the power of Bhima. So he asked Bhima, "Bhima, you look at this golden mountain, try lifting it, try moving it." So Bhima came and he tried to first move the mountain. He couldn't even budge it. And Bhima was really curious to know, what is this? What is this huge golden mountain? And Lord Krishna said, "This was the earring of Hiranyakashipu. And I had killed this Hiranyakashipu when I appeared as Narasingadeva." So Bhima understood, this was the earring, just the earring, a huge golden mountain. So Hiranyakashipu, how big Hiranyakashipu must have been, if that was just the earring. And this big, huge Hiranyakashipu with that big earring was stuck in the fingernails of Lord Narasingadeva. Shri Narasingadeva Bhagwan ki! Lord Narasingadeva was so huge, mammoth in size. And then Lord Narasingadeva, he decided, because all the demigods, they were thinking that what's happening, this Hiranyakashipu is slipping out and maybe he might overwhelm the Lord and might overpower him. So seeing this, Lord Narasingadeva decided that I have to now finish off the show. So he took Hiranyakashipu on his lap. And he placed Hiranyakashipu, and then the first surgery performed ever. Lord Narasingadeva, without any assistance, without any of the scissors and anything, with his 10 nails, he started ripping apart, took out the entrails, the intestines of Hiranyakashipu. And Acharyas explain that when he took out the intestines of Hiranyakashipu, he was checking out. Everyone was watching, what is he doing? Lord Narasingadeva was checking out, looking for something. He was looking for another Prahlad. Because Lord Narasingadeva thought that from this body, my dear servant Prahlad has been born. So he was checking out, is there another Prahlad like him inside? Let me check out. And then it is explained that as the fight was going on, the red colored garland we were speaking of, in that fight fell over Hiranyakashipu's body. And because all the demigods were watching this final scene, so all the video cameras were on Narasingadeva and they were watching. So he thought that I don't have a garland. So he took that red tainted intestine of Hiranyakashipu and wore it around his neck. That was the garland of Lord Narasingadeva, the red blood tainted intestine of Hiranyakashipu. One person was once asking me, can we not offer that kind of garland? Like Radhanath Maharaj was explaining that one devotee in ISKCON, he offers to Lord Narasingadeva all high-tech weapons, you know, AK-47, rifles, shotguns, you know, as Kaliyuga is progressing. So he's making those offerings to Lord Narasingadeva. So here, Lord Narasingadeva, he was fuming with anger. Every skin pore of Lord Narasingadeva was oozing out with transcendental anger as he was killing Hiranyakashipu. And he was so angry that he started to cry out loudly. And it appeared as if the entire universe is going to crack into pieces. There was a crackling sound, a deafening shrill of Lord Narasingadeva. And after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasingadeva was all the more angry after killing Hiranyakashipu. And then all the demigods, especially Lord Brahma, was very fearful because he had given all the boons. So here was Narasingadeva. He was making sure, as he was killing Hiranyakashipu, he was making sure that all the boons given by Lord Brahma should be kept intact. So he was, you know, simultaneously thinking of Lord Brahma's boons and making sure that he dies on my lap, which is neither land, nor sky, nor water. Then Lord Narsingdev came at the doorstep, made sure he's not inside, outside, proper time. Lord Narsingdev was just looking at the watch, proper time, you know, twilight hours, that is the time when I have to kill. So he was constantly thinking of Lord Brahma's boons should be kept intact, and then he killed Hiranyakashipu like that. And Brahma was very fearful. Then Lakshmi Devi was brought, that, see, you are the consort, so you should be pacifying. So angry, look at him. So Lakshmi Devi looked at Lord Narsingdev. I can't recognize him. There was identity crisis for Mother Lakshmi. And then, of course, Prahlad was brought in front. Prahlad was fearless. So immediately Lord Narsingdev placed his palm. And it is explained by Acharyas that this is the beauty of Lord Narsingdev. We were speaking of the mixed emotions which Lord Narsingdev had. That as Lord Narsingdev was tearing apart Hiranyakashipu, with his one eye he was exhibiting extreme intense anger on Hiranyakashipu, and with one eye he was looking with supreme compassion and love towards Prahlad. So which actor of this world, or which so-called angry young man, can perform this stage performance? That with one eye he can exhibit intense anger, and with one eye he can exhibit intense love. The example is given that when the cow gives birth to a calf, so the cow is very much fearing that the cowherd boy might take my calf away to milk me. So whenever the cowherd boy comes closer to the cow who has just given birth to the calf, with one eye the cow looks at the cowherd boy with some kind of a threat, and with the other eye the cow looks with loving compassion towards her calf. So similarly, Lord Narsingdev with one eye was looking with fierce anger towards Hiranyakashipu, and with one eye he was looking with so much of love and compassion towards Prahlad. And Srila Prabhupada concludes by saying that what was the one reason why the Lord appeared? The Lord appeared so instantly pleasing to Prahlad Maharaj and all the demigods. It was because of Prahlad Maharaj's absorption. Because Prahlad was so absorbed in the Supreme Lord, it was not a surprise for Prahlad that the Lord appeared, because he was seeing him anyways all the time. Like one devotee, disciple of Gaur Govind Maharaj, Madhavanand Prabhu, had come once, and he was explaining that this took place in Orissa. There was a drama company. So this drama company was very famous in Orissa, and they would go performing dramas of the various incarnations of Vishnu. And it was famous because of one particular actor. Because this one actor in the team, whenever he would play a certain role, he would get so much involved in that particular role that kind of the avesh of that particular character would come into him. So because the acting would be so natural and lively, so guess which drama were the performing ones? Lord Narsingdev's pastime. And this actor was given the role of Lord Narsingdev. And whenever he would take up to any role, he would become so lively, the avesh of that particular character would come in him. So when the time came to actually kill Hiranyakashipu, he became so much in the avesh of Lord Narsingdev that he actually started to beat Hiranyakashipu. When in the drama they were supposed to just do a mock fight, he actually took Hiranyakashipu, placed on his lap, and started pounding him left, right, back and forth. And Prahlad Maharaj was acting, you know, he became fearful. What to speak of Hiranyakashipu, you know, was acting. Hiranyakashipu started Narsingha Arati. Please save me. So Hiranyakashipu, you know, who was being pounded, he started chanting, you know, glories of Lord Narsingdev, please save me. So then, of course, you know, he actually killed. He killed Hiranyakashipu in that drama. And then he was taken to the courts, and it so happened that the judge was actually, his Ishtadev was Lord Narsingadev. So the judge understood, and the judge waved off and protected this actor. And the next time, they decided that we are not going to give him these kind of roles. So the next drama they performed was of Ramayana, and they gave him Dasharath. You know, just in the beginning, you know, everything finishes off. But this person still as Dasharath, when Lord Ram left to the forest, what happened to Dasharath? Dasharath left his body. So he also left his body. Actually, that was absorption. So therefore here, as Prabhupada explains, that it was because of the absorption of Prahlad Maharaj that the Lord appeared. And therefore, what we have to pray also on this day is that by the mercy of Prahlad Maharaj and by the mercy of Lord Narsingadev, as this is beautiful verse which explains that okay, so Lord Narsingadev is soon going to appear, so we have to finish off early, already concluded. So in this beautiful verse, Shankaracharya explains that what should be the prayer which we should make to Lord Narsingadev, in which he says, Andhasya me ritaviveka mahadhanasya chaurair prabho mahabalibhirindriya namadhyeya mohanda kupa kuhare vinipati tasya Lakshmi Narsingha mama dehi karavalambham. Spraying that the real enemies, the thieves which have stolen the mahadhan of my life, the Krishna prem, are my own senses, my uncontrolled mind. So my dear Lakshmi Narsingha, please, you lift me up from this mohanda kupa and protect me from my own uncontrolled mind and my uncontrolled senses. Shri Lakshmi Narsingha Dev Bhagwan ki, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki. So we request all of you to remain seated, and after a while then we'll be indicated to get up. So as I announced that this darshan is going to be one of the most spectacular darshans of Narsingh Chaturdashi which we ever had. And please hold on to your breath and keep your eyes open and your ears open. It's going to be an audio visual effect of